You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? Yes, I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a windy tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information. Ask me for what blood makes noise. Is it ringing in my ear? Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. I want to thank you for joining us this evening here. We're now in hour number two. Hope you enjoyed hour number one. That was a very recent pre-record. And I just want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by Numana Foods. And Mike Adams has done comparison tests on Numana Foods to other storable food companies. And Numana beats them in every single category in every single way. It's not that there's not other good competitors, but not as good as Numana. Get the peace of mind that comes knowing that you have actually prepared your family for the worst that could come. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the promo code HodgesNOV5 to take 5% off. I want to also remind everybody about our YouTube channel. So all you got to do is go into YouTube and say Dave Hodges or the Common Sense Show and you will find us. Anyway, enjoy the interview. We'll be back in hour number three. Everybody, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And on the newsmaker line with us is Paul Martin from Northern Colorado. And Paul is, you know, when we bring him on, he usually has some blockbuster releases. So, Paul, welcome to the show, and let's get right down to it.
Well, good morning, Dave. Been a lot going on in the last 24 hours. I think item one is... Got a contact from a wife of a special forces soldier in stationed in South Korea, and her husband called her and said, "We've got everything, including the kitchen sink, pointed towards North Korea, and we're locked and cocked, and we're all, the only thing we're waiting for right now is a green light, and it's the 8th of." June this morning here in northern Colorado. That was yesterday, and we also saw they had multiple ballistic missiles launched out of North Korea yesterday. So we'll just have to wait and see how this pans out. Item number two is I had posted...
Paul, before we leave item number one, many of my colleagues are reporting that two of the three carrier groups have moved away from Korea. Are you aware of that?
No, I knew there were three carrier groups there, a marine amphibious assault ship and one nuclear sub. But as of this morning, I haven't heard of two of the carrier groups moving away.
This has been pretty widely reported. I'm not going to be willing to say that this is true at this point, but it is out there. And it's not the credible sources that I usually rely on, like the Hagmans and Steve Quayle and so forth. They're more secondary sources and people who I don't usually rely on for my news, and no insult intended. But I have seen this in three places. I think it could be a strategic withdrawal because of the release of those ballistic missiles yesterday. That would be my guess, getting the fleet out of harm's way, kind of like a boxer staying outside the jab range of its opponent. So I just want you to know that's out there. I don't make a lot of it in terms of keeping the pressure on. One headline I read said, Trump has blinked and backed away from Korea. He is not backing down to Korea. That's ridiculous. But he could be putting his forces in a position where they're not as much in harm's way. Okay, anyway, let's go to item number two, Paul. What do you have there? And this is the one that I think is the meatiest of the two. It's the most important.
Yeah, I had posted a X-22 report yesterday. The title was "The Last Stage of Popping the Bubbles Has Begun. It's Only a Matter of Time." And I got an email from an officer on the comment section at revolutionradio.org. And his comment was spot on. As a cop for almost 30 years, we are preparing for the unrest in the reset. Most dependent on government will be hurting the most, and they will come to the urban areas and suburbs to where the stuff is. We will have shootings daily. You won't go home for days at a time. We'll work with National Guard and other troops. Plan to move local police from calm areas to hotspots to deal with unrest. This is a federal plan. I had an ID card not issued by my agency but the feds that was a smart card with all my police and military training on it. Cops will be called up based on skills and experiences needed. Banking contact, the major bank, plan, we will default on all dollars and bonds, just waiting for the quote-unquote trigger event. It will be like Venezuela for a time, not good. The new dollar will be 100% digital system, all buying and selling track. There will be money, but it will be different. All accounts, including IRAs, 401ks, will get an average 50% haircut. These haircuts, along with 50% devaluation of the, quote, new dollar, unquote, will help banks balance their balance sheets. Only 4 to 5 banks will survive. They will eat up all the good accounts. Everything else will be written off in bankruptcy. We all get screwed, but the system will save itself in the reset. There will be very little credit under the new system. It will be pay as you go. So all these entitlement programs will have to be drastically reduced. We are seeing the baby steps in that direction already, working for food stamps, etc., which happened in, I believe, Georgia yesterday. Attended a Fed St. Louis meeting a few months ago. Their macro expert openly stated that there is no confidence this QE will last to 2017 will end well. That to prevent panic, they will not tell the people what is really going on. They're waiting for that unknown trigger event. There is no time frame. It's not a time-driven, but an event-driven event. I have no doubt Trump was put into office as the best choice to lead the nation through the reset. He may not be a globalist, but he is their best friend forever. And that is the officer's quote.
I'm taking notes here. Excuse me. I'm taking notes here on what you're saying, Paul. I ain't buying the BFF. Sorry. That's bull crap. That is total bull crap.
Well, I mean, he's got a whole lot of Goldman Sachs guys in there, so I'm just reading the officer's statement.
I hear you, but this guy's saying that Trump is their best friend. They're BFFs. No, they're not BFFs. They're not BFFs. Trump is going through a witch hunt with Comey. Trump is going through a witch hunt with the Congress over nothing, absolutely nothing. And as a consequence...
Oh, I agree.
As a consequence, there's no BFF relationship there whatsoever. And I do agree. I have some problems with who Trump is appointed. He's trying to be centrist. He's trying to bring in all angles to reach mutual solutions, hoping he can draw on some protection from the left by who he brings in. I understand it. I don't agree with the move. He was elected to bring a coalition from the right, and I disagree with many of his appointments, including Tillerson and some others, although Tillerson's come more to the center, I have to say that. I want to go through a few things you said here on this, Paul. It's really interesting. He said, it was almost got glossed over in his message. He mentioned the word reset, and assumption here, an obvious assumption, is we're talking about the economic reset. Any idea what he could be referencing, what's going to set this off?
Well, I mean, it was a year ago, you know, we talked about it on prior podcast. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts said a year ago in an interview that the Western banking empire can collapse at any given moment. There's a lot of honest, what I believe honest economic people out there that are you know, talking about that the European central banks are basically out of bullets. You know, they've been putting trillions of dollars buying stocks and bonds in all of the Western economics and since 2008. And we know at some point this whole thing's just going to come down. I mean, they're trying with the advent of this massive amount of technical trading. I mean, these guys are trading in nanoseconds now. I mean, even if they make a nickel on every trade, they're trading billions of trades in microseconds. And as been stated multiple times, the only thing that has to happen is one trader hit the wrong button at the wrong time, and this thing's it'll just be over. There's been some very credible information out there about the reset. It'll probably happen on a Friday. There'll be a lot of chatter over the weekend. And then on Monday, things will change. I mean, we've Gerald Celente a year ago was talking about the bug-in bags that they're issuing to major banks. It's buried somewhere at revolutionradio.org that the SEC put out about a year and a half ago on bank holidays, you know, how to proceed with a bank holiday, what to do during the bank holiday, how to reopen from the bank holiday, and there was five levels of that they will let you withdraw from your bank account. Doesn't matter if you've got $10 trillion in there. If they say you get $500 or $1,000 or $5,000 or whatever it is. You know, it was a year and a half ago, the citizens in Bulgaria went to bed one Sunday night and they woke up Monday morning and their currency had been cut in half. And I mean, we're very close to what the officer was talking about, a Venezuela moment for hyperinflation. So it's, as always, we talk about prep time. It's getting closer when you started getting comments from police officers about the reset.
There's some truth in what he said, and I agree with your interpretation of what he said. I wrote an article, gosh, you lose track of the years, either 2 or 3 years ago, and it was on the banking conference, the G20 conference that took place in Brisbane, Australia. And in that conference, Paul, they determined the pecking order when the banks collapse of who will get what. And what they decided at that conference that I covered was that all the people who've done the credit swap derivative scam, they go to the front of the line and everybody else goes to the back. And I thought, well, okay, well, I'm never going to see a dime when my bank collapses. But that belief was also bolstered by the fact that when you look at the solvency of the FDIC, the group that's supposed to be backing up our money in the bank with hard currency, they have 1.2% of the cash on hand they would need to cover a complete banking collapse. So the bottom line is, and I hope everyone's listening to this, the banks go down, the best thing that you can hope for, and I mean the very best, is a 50% currency reset. So if you had $10,000 in the bank, you now have five. I don't think you're even going to see that much. I think the middle class is going to see squat because the design is to take America down. And I wanted to ask you, too, you mentioned that he's a cop. You used the words called up, Paul, called up. What did that mean?
Well, it's a typical military operation, you know, and it's just like my East Coast said, you know, sometime back, he said, martial law is locked and cocked. We're just, you know, I'm just waiting for my red phone to go off. And this is just typical military preparation. And I think the interesting deal was that the Fed was giving him a special biometric card with all of his background on it, so they can, you know, zip it, see who he is, and use some of these people, these police officers that have former military preparation to, you know, work with, as he said in this email, with the National Guard and the military. You know, I know several officers here in Northern Colorado that are former Marines, and they'll utilize these guys for, you know, when it's go time, Dave.
Okay, that's what I thought you meant, and I just wanted to make sure. The word called up is pretty explicit. I've never heard of calling up a police officer. I've heard of calling up the National Guard. I've heard of calling up draftees, but I've never heard of police officers being called up. You see, this violates the 10th Amendment. And there may be a logistical need to do this, but this is still a 10th Amendment violation, because clearly civilian policing authority is meant to be kept secret, separate from federal authority, and for good reason. Prevents tyranny from the unification of all law enforcement. And this is a very dangerous precedent, Paul. I mean, I see this as a big red flag in what's coming. You also mentioned here about Venezuela. And I've maintained that Venezuela is going on for two reasons, and I've said this repeatedly in my writings. Number one, Hillary Clinton's revenge against Venezuela for not kowtowing to the establishment, the banking industry, international banking industry, I should say. And so she pulled out all the stops as Secretary of State and got food shipments cut off Venezuela, and would not allow Venezuela to capitalize on its vast oil resources. And then I think there's a second purpose there. They're studying human behavior. They want to know how people are going to respond when food is used as a weapon. And one of the big developments, and I want you to comment on this, that we're seeing in Venezuela, and I've reported on this a few weeks ago, is that the average soldier in Venezuela who's guaranteed food is now defecting, they're deserting, and they're standing with the people.
Absolutely.
Do you think we would see that here under similar circumstances?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of my military intelligence source was stating a couple of years ago that the rank and file older troops will definitely support the Constitution. The only problem they have in the military is the younger people, especially a lot of the immigrants that have been given citizenship if they serve in the military. Right. And they've been putting gang members in the U.S. military for at least 20 years. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I've worked with some officers here in Northern Colorado. You know, about 3 years ago, my East Coast was telling officers in his area, you know, when this goes down, you need to take those uniforms and that squad car and get rid of it and take that uniform and throw it in the trash, because you're going to be hunted. And
Why is that true? Why will they be hunted?
Well, a lot of people hate police officers. I mean, how many people in your area have been in jail over whatever for the last 20 years? I mean, there's always payback. I mean, you've got bad guys and that have, you know, served time and stuff. Some for the good, you know, for a proper reason. Some people for non proper reasons. So most people don't like the police. No, I mean, there's 164 reasons they can pull you over, and you know, there's been a lot of very bad police actions here over the last, you know, especially the last 5 years, shootings and whatnot. There's a lot of great officers out there. I know, you know, I've known some over the 20 years I've been here in Northern Colorado, but for the vast majority of people, they really don't like being stopped, pulled over for a ticket, your headlights out, your windshield's cracked, you know, whatever. And now, I mean, with the legalizing of marijuana here in Colorado, and I've talked to people for several months, that people traveling out of state through Kansas, through Nebraska, they're being pulled over just simply because of Colorado license plates and being checked for pot. So, I mean, there's a lot of underlying angst with police forces, state troopers, and stuff like that. So that was the reason that my East Coast source was telling, you know, officers in his area, dump those uniforms. I told, you know, I had the FBI up my backside for about 13 years, you know, and I always told those guys, I said, you know, the day is coming when you're going to take those navy blue raid jackets with FBI on the back and that fancy little wallet you got with that FBI badge, and you're going to throw those things in the trash and go home and take care of your families. You know, that was a decade and a half ago. So, you know, police officer that are listening, you might want to heed to that.
I happen to agree with you on that point, because when vigilantism reaches its peak, and it will in times of desperation, and a food as a weapon mentality would certainly bring that out. Any discussion that you get, you mentioned your East Coast source, and let's just say that's his geographic location, but the person is a very highly placed source within the government. And something I know you can't go any further in description is to the identity, but does he say anything about food as a weapon?
Has never talked about it, no.
To me, that's the first thing I would think about. And the second thing I'd think about is when they bring these troops in, and this is the first time I've heard this report. Paul, let me tell you what I typically hear. The feds are going to cordon off the cities and no one in or no one out, but whatever happens inside that ring, nature takes its course. That's what I've heard.
Well, I've got a source, former high-ranking officer, it's a contractor, and John Moore sent me a snail mail with a source out of Joint Special Operations out of Florida, and they were both saying the same thing. He said it's going to be – they're going to ring the cities off, nobody in, nobody out. Both guys said 6 months. They both said, you know, there's enough weapons in this country that they'll think of it as a internal cuisine art, if you will. There's enough weapons in these cordoned off areas that they'll just wait till, you know, the inevitable civil unrest and, you know, people killing everybody, and they'll just go in and mop up.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to what you had mentioned here. And here, let me take a look at my notes. You had mentioned here that the police will team up with the National Guard and they'll be moved from calm areas to hot spots. Tells me this is a departure from the plan, because they're planning on direct intervention in the cordoned off cities. And it's something that I've never been exposed to before. What do you know about that, Paul?
Well, there will be hot spots. I mean, if you look at places like, you know, Detroit, Dallas, Fort Worth Metro, L.A. will be a basket case. I mean, there's nobody that's going to want to go in there with all the massive amount of gang members, MS-13 and all that stuff. And we've got MS-13 here. I told you a couple weeks ago, I had an MS-13 guy came in the store, you know, had two teardrops under his eye.
You know what that means? Before you go further, you know what that means for the listening audience's sake? It means he's murdered two people.
Yeah, there's a very big MS-13 group in Greeley, Colorado. But they usually don't travel that far out of Greeley, but I actually did have one in my store. But so they'll take the worst of the worst of the worst and go in. Anything that's you know, medium flame or low flame, they won't worry about. But anything that's super hot, especially that will affect infrastructure, power grids, anything like that, they'll probably go in and protect that.
Okay, that is it's a slight departure from what I've heard, but I'm not surprised. I thought there would have to be intervention, but you know, when you read these federal documents for dealing with cities in stress, it's just the cordon off mentality, which is one of the reasons that underlied the creation of the interstate highway system under Eisenhower. So, but this is a little change in strategy here, and it's one that, quite frankly, Paul, I've expected. You just can't let things go. You said something else, too, that I thought was really interesting, and it almost got glossed over in this recollection by this person. There'll be very little, if no, credit. Guess what? You ain't buying a house. You're not buying a car. You're not paying for your groceries with your credit card. You can pay for it with your debit card. You're not paying for it with your credit card. That speaks to the level of economic misery that's coming, Paul. That's what I see that comment being. That the basis of our system is debt. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with how it's been evolved. But nonetheless, if you're taking debt out of the equation, and that's what no credit means, then basically what you're talking about are people are going to be living hand to mouth.
Yeah, and for most people out there, there's no hand to mouth. I mean, the credit numbers are horrific, people living off their credit card. So it'll be... Yeah. It'll be pretty bad.
$200 trillion of living off your credit card in today's economy. This is stunning. And I'm going to give a shameless plug here for one of my advertisers, because this is why I pick the advertisers I do, Paul. I pick the ones, and if everyone goes to my website, you can see specifically why Dave Hodges has allowed people to advertise on his website with certain products. One of them is Numana. You're going to need to have food, people, and you're going to need seeds, too. And I don't sell the seeds, although I'm looking at a deal with a possible company here, but I'm still in the investigation phase. But you need food, you need seeds, because you're going to have to raise your own. So this is why I sell Numana, and you can find out about it by going to numana.com/Hodges. We got a 5% sale that you can take off by using the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Shameless plug. But this is why I do what I do. I've got the storable food. And people, don't come knocking on my door, because you're not getting in. You need to take care of yourself. Paul, I know you feel the same way, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've been loaded up for 3 or 4 years. I mean, because we didn't know, you know. In 2008, they should have let the whole thing just go.
Yeah, I agree.
And start over. But they didn't. And every day that they're buying, European Central Bank's doing the same thing. They're buying bonds and stocks just hand over fist. But I think time is short. We could be in a Bulgaria situation any day. You know, you go to bed and watching whatever you watch, or baseball, or any, you know, whatever you watch on TV, and you go to bed and you get up next morning and there it is in your face. And you've got to be preemptive to this deal, because we've known since 2008 that the system was going to go down. I mean, at that time, we didn't have any idea about QE and 1, 2, 3, and 4 and QE infinity and all this other blather. But we did know, and true economists and people out there have been talking about it for years, that this thing will go down at some point. They will have no other. They'll as they're saying right now, the Fed's running out of bullets.
Well, you mentioned we should have let it go in 2008, and I could not agree with you more. And I called for that. If you recall, Paul, I wrote a couple of articles on Iceland. Iceland put these damn bankers in jail. They didn't get bailouts. They jailed their backsides, and now today Iceland's economy is better off than the United States by far. And then the second thing is that our numbers have continued to decline. And let me give you some numbers. And Paul, it's kind of like, how many straws can you put on the camel's back and which straw is going to break its back? And that's where we're at with this. Let me give you a few numbers here. We have a $200 trillion personal credit card debt that I just alluded to. We have a $1 trillion student loan debt. The bubble on the car loans is flipping huge, as identified by economist Bob Kudla, and it's just beginning to make its way into the mainstream media. Bob told me about it 60 days ago. Then you have $240 trillion of unfunded mandated liability debt that we have. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Don't pay the old people and see what happens in this country. And then you've got another situation where we're looking at a $20 trillion national debt. People say, well, that's not too bad, Dave, in comparison. Really? We only take in $2 trillion a year. So we're 10 times over what we take in. So we have no chance to even right the ship. And then the 800-pound gorilla is the credit swap derivatives debt, which is an estimated, and I think this is a low estimate now by this point in time, but it's estimated to be $1.5 quadrillion. Now, the entire wealth of the planet's estimated to be about $70 trillion. In other words, the credit swap derivatives, those little computer digits that say what we owe 16 times the value of the entire planet. And the interest rate on that's $505 trillion a year. Remember, we take in $2 trillion a year. These are debts that can never be paid. I don't care if you're in the 5,000th century. You can't pay this off. And yet, we're being told we need to. Just when is the last straw going to break the camel's back, Paul? That's all we're waiting for right now. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the sensible solution would be to just have a debt holiday. Just wipe the debt out. Everybody. Just zero the whole thing and start over. But these people are too sick, too twisted, and too greedy to let that happen. You know, we talked about, we were doing some podcasts before while Trump was doing his nationwide tour and before he got elected and sworn in, that, you know, these people have been running the planet for 600 years. You know, what we're at right now is at the, we're at the end of a 300-year credit cycle. The only thing that we can relate to this is the collapse of Venice in the 1400s. You know, Venice was the center of banking in, at that time, and when that bubble popped, it put Europe in the dark ages for 300 years, and this debt makes that look like Sesame Street.
Well, that also led to the rise, the exponential rise of feudalism,
where yes,
90% of your people were serfs, and they were living, as we have talked about on this broadcast, hand to mouth. And most of the serfs never went more than 10, 15 miles from their home. It was like the American sharecropper pre-Civil War. Give most of your product to your lord and vassal, and you just keep a pittance, and you barely keep your family alive. This is what the average person's in for under this new deep state system. In fact, I wrote an article and did a podcast yesterday, Paul, on Walmart. I don't know if you've caught that or not. But I talked about Walmart's sick leave policies that, first of all, they're all in violation of federal law, but no one's following the law anymore, so they get away with it. But even with that, the Walmart business model that's predatory to everything but making profits is going to be the deep state business of the future once the collapse comes. See, the collapse is setting up the emergence of the shadow government. I don't know if you believe that or not. I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. Do you think the shadow government comes out of the shadows after the collapse? Or do they have a pretense of putting in another puppet-controlled elected government in place?
You know, Dave, we're just in no man's land. I mean, as far as the rest of the world, possibly, the United States, the most heavily armed population in history in the world, and gun sales are back up since the shenanigans and the terrorism in London and Paris and everything that's going on over there. Gun sales are back up. And, you know, we've talked about this before. How do you, if you're the evil dictator or the president of the United States, how do you answer to that? I mean, you don't have enough police officers. You don't have enough military troops, which most of them are overseas, and you've written about this in articles. What do you do with that? Well, there's nothing conventional that you can do. There's two things you can do. You can shut the grid down, or you can release a bioweapon, and your FEMA source told you about that as well as my source did. If they can't get you guys under control, they hit you with a bioweapon.
That's exactly right. That's why he went into hiding and did early retirement. And he wasn't the only one. People from DHS and FEMA did this together, and they worked for years on setting up a survival camp. And this, I'm trying to think now, Paul, we're going on about 4.5 years now when he bugged out with his family. And it was someone who I had known for 15 years at the time. And so you're absolutely correct on that. You're right about what comes in terms of what they're going to do. You said, what do they do with all the people? Well, you've got another problem. You've got automation that's threatening to replace 50% of all jobs that aren't high tech, and even the high tech jobs are in trouble. So what do you do with all these excess people? You really have two choices, and you're right. I think a nuclear war is another option, but then the globalists are kind of fouling in their own nest. So that might prevent that from happening. I don't think we're going to see an EMP, Paul, because they don't want the burden of taking a decade or longer to try to rebuild the system. I do think they'll take the grid down. I think you're right about that, but I think it'll be taken down through computer hacking. And let me just mention here about the Naval War College, Paul, and get your reaction to this. Naval War College did a study on a grid down scenario several years ago. And Trent Franks, my congressman, actually talked about this at a public meeting he held at my former church. And he said that they projected within 2 years of a grid down scenario, 90% of all people would be dead. Are you aware of that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it'll take that long. I mean, if you look at the pharmaceutical pipeline, if you look at the amount of people that are on SSRIs, people in hospitals, diabetics. I mean, I know people that have shoeboxes full of pills they take every day. I don't take anything, but but I know a lot of people that do. And It won't take 2 years.
Well, the number one cause of death after you get past the initial violence and the setting up of the little fiefdoms that'll take place and will basically supplant state and local and federal government, what ends up happening to be the number one cause of death, and I find this really interesting, are waterborne diseases.
Absolutely.
I don't sell water filters. None of my advertisers do. Well, let me take that back. Bob Griswold does. People can go to readymaderesources.com, and he is a sponsor of my radio show. Everyone needs to have multiple water filters because they don't last indefinitely. And that's going to be your biggest threat. In fact, let me give you a real scary scenario, Paul, and I'm sure you've heard this. For the 40 million people in Southern California to get their water, the water has to be pumped over a mountain range. If that system is down, those people don't have any water.
Oh, absolutely not. And I mean, there is a lot of, even from my East Coast source about EMPs, but I agree with you. I mean, look at the hacking stories. Hack, hack, hack. This is hacked. That's hacked. The Russians are hacking this. Hack it. I think they're front loading the story. And I think, as I've said on previous podcasts, I was invited to a birthday party a couple years ago, and I'm not big on parties, but I went because he wanted me to meet somebody. And this guy was an IT tech that was a contractor for the U.S. Army, and he was livid. This guy was livid. He said all the software in the grid's Chinese, and he said a couple of keystrokes and they'll just take the grid down. So the stories about EMPs, and you can go to revolutionradio.org and in the search engine and check on the EMP stories. But I think they're setting us up for a grid down scenario with the EMP premise and blaming it on, you know, X, Y, and Z. So, the last communique from the East Coast was three letters EMP, three countries, China, Russia, North Korea, welcomed 1851, and that was it. So somebody in the upper echelons of intelligence is expecting something to happen to the grid, whether it's an EMP or not. We don't know, but the grid's very, very easily to take down. You know, with the amount of Spetsnaz troops in this country from coast to coast, you know, I was talking to John, my buddy John Moore, a couple years ago, and we were discussing the Russian troops and stuff that's here, and he said, you know, he said, one Spetsnaz team can take down Denver quick and, you know, blow up some power stations, it's lights out. So I think with all of the stories that are in the media, there's been, you know, you've got Dr. Vincent Price, you know, going to Congress. He's an EMP expert, and they haven't done anything to take care of the grid. Although there was a report last week about President Trump trying to fortify the grid. I don't know if I don't think he's got time to do it. Hope he does. But, I think people should prepare to take care of themselves and their families in that kind of scenario.
Well, you're right. One thing that really bolsters your argument that you're making here is that when Janet Napolitano gave her DHS director's farewell speech when she was replaced, she said she expected to see an attack upon the grid. She was really clear. In fact, her words were, not if, but when. So she was very clear. And see, this is the former head of the DHS.
Yeah, she said.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, she said. The new guy, you know, the new person in office better, you know, better bring some aspirin.
She didn't part with Obama on good terms, and that was her kind of like big middle finger to Obama. That's how I saw that comment. And I thought, whoa, this is pretty good. And you know what? The mainstream media was dumb until death. As Steve Quayle calls it, dumb until death. And I agree. I mean, the mainstream media just totally ignored her comment, and yet you couldn't miss it because it was recorded. And I put the YouTube video into an article, and I said, here it is, folks. And I launched into what Trent Franks had been doing, and she was writing to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission saying, hey, for the cost of one B-1 bomber, $2 billion, we can harden the entire grid. And nobody wanted to hear it because that's what's going to go on. And I find it so interesting that we have not taken the obvious step for the biggest threat we face. I think a grid down scenario is as bad, if not worse, than a nuclear attack. Paul, what do you think about that?
Well, I do. I agree with you. I mean, nobody. China doesn't want nukes. Putin doesn't want nukes. Trump doesn't want. Nobody wants a nuke. But they can do the same thing with just taking the grid down. You know, and I agree with John Moore. I mean, we were talking a couple of years ago, and he, you know, he's saying, I don't think they're going to hit us with one thing, Paul. He said, I think they'll hit us with about three. One won't do it, but two or three. I mean, they could take the grid down, hit us with a bio weapon, tank the water supplies. I mean, there's so many things that are so easy. Bio weapons are extremely easy to make. They're cheap. They get the job done, and you know, get some aerolizers, walk through L.A. International, Dallas Fort Worth Airport, Chicago O'Hare, Atlanta, and put a 96 window on your bug, and 96 hours later, boom. You know, it activates, and it's so easy. It's an easy fix for these evil, sick, pedophile freaks that are running the planet.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, you mentioned a minute ago, too, about hacking is what you said. Yesterday, the WordFence report on my website said that there were 884 attempts at hacking into my website. Website was brought down 2 days ago, and we're down for about 40 minutes. Now, some people won't notice that because it reverts to an earlier version. It's about an hour prior to the hacking attempt that took it down. But you're right. The hacking is gone exponential. In fact, we've had to actually shut off all Chinese IP addresses. The hacking has been so bad on my site. And I'll tell you why, Paul. This is kind of an interesting story. The reason why we had to take down China was because Robert Kudla, about 10 days ago, was on my site. And we were doing an interview similar to this, and Bob said the Chinese banks are at near failure. He was the first one to say it. Still hasn't hit the mainstream media, although a few of my colleagues in the alternative media are beginning to pick up on this. And that's been out there for 10 days. And right after that, the day after, is when the hackers started really coming after me with the Chinese IP addresses. I thought that was really interesting. Paul, I'm going to throw one more thing at you about a scenario. I have the takedown of the grid as the number two scenario that will actually cause the end of America. But I do agree with you. I think we're going to see three or four, so this is probably going to happen. But my number one candidate is the Oroville Dam, and you're about ready to have a holy crap moment, Paul. You're the first one that I have told this. I did a secretive private interview with Paul Preston, who has some stunning inside information. In fact, he's already had an attempt on his life because of this information. When the Oroville Dam was built, Paul, I'm warning, I hope you're sitting down. When it was built, Lawrence Livermore Labs placed tactical nuclear weapons, and I forget the acronym, ADM, but I'd have to go back and look up what that means, but ADMs underneath the dam. Underneath the dam. Underneath the dam. And the purpose of these ADMs is to blow up dams. And this was placed in there in the 1960s. So my question to Paul, I said, Paul, this is simply bizarre. And yet he's got the documentation to prove what he said. I said, is this some kind of multi-generational plot to take down America? Now, before I give you his answer, let me tell you what the results will be. When that dam breaks, notice my choice of words, that water will go downstream 100 miles. It'll crest south of Sacramento at 25 feet. It puts at risk 2.5 million people. The sheriff of one of the counties there that ordered the first evacuation that took 200,000 people out, he happenstanced to walk into the control center where the Department of Water Resources and Jerry Brown's people were looking at everything. He thought, they're preparing to take the dam down. Now, politically, he's not saying that, but he's hinting at it. That's why he ordered the evacuation. And that happened on February 12th. Paul said we got a reprieve because a sheriff accidentally walked into a meeting. Since that time, Paul has also found out about the ADMs under the Oroville Dam. If they go off, the dam's not going to need much anyway because it's ready to collapse just because of the spring runoff. But if that dam breaks, 25% of the retail of America comes through those regions, and all those transportation routes will be underwater. Also, about 70% of agriculture emanates from California in one form or another. The second world's largest growing rice region, gone for years. And you've got fruits and vegetables, number one winter crop in California, gone. We're not talking just famine in the United States. We're talking famine across the planet. Paul, that's my number one false flag issue. And you're probably fairly stunned right now what I'm saying about the Oroville Dam and Lawrence Livermore and the ADMs, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm putting that much out, but I'm putting the whole story out on my show Sunday night. I'm holding the rest under wraps, and we've downloaded it. People can't get to it. They don't know where it's at. I got multiple copies. I didn't think I could keep it secret because of the electronic spying eyes today. So I decided to, you know, to have some dead man switches, and I put it around the country. I've already mailed a couple people some things, and not my name either, I might add. So I thought you would appreciate the blockbuster.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. But it just shows you, you know, it just shows you the depth of the New World Order and preparations of things that they had planned for us. I mean, you know, the reason I even got started in this was from Colonel Bo Greitz. He had a morning show on 1360 when I first started listening, and he said, "Good morning, USSA Incorporated." I looked at the radio and I go, "Colonel, what in the Sam Hill are you talking about?" He had a little dead air time, and he goes, "I guess you boys and girls are wondering what I'm talking about." I'm nodding at the radio. "Yeah, what are you talking about, Colonel?" He goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the USSA Incorporated. That's the United Soviet States of America Incorporated." And my brain exploded. And my heart knew he was right. My brain didn't know why. And that's kind of how I started doing what I did, you know, back in 93 and started radio with Norm Resnick and all that. But just this information about the Orville Dam just gives a little bit of credence what the good colonel said back in 1993, that this is a long-range plan to take America down. Absolutely.
Well, if you recall, the Soviet defectors like Golitsyn and so forth, remember what they said? The plan to take down America is multi-generational, and it goes beyond us, meaning the Soviet Union. You recall that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then we had defector after defector telling us this. Now we're starting to see the sum total of it. And the demise of the United States has been planned for a very, very long time. And in this instance, it goes back 50 years. Paul, any final words before we call it a day?
Well, prep, and get right with God. Because, you know, with all that's going on, we may be meeting him short term.
This is absolutely stunning. And I just got you right. Prepping is the only chance people have to survive. It doesn't guarantee it. It increases your odds. And again, this is why I represent the companies I do and why you do what you do. Paul's website is revolutionradio.org. And he has great stories up there. It's one of the best news aggregate sites in the country. I would encourage everybody to visit Paul's site multiple times a day. Paul, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dave. You have a great day, and audience, you have a great day. And one thing I've been preaching on for the last 3-4 years is we got to take care of the elderly. If there's any medications you absolutely have to have, get at least a year worth of those medications. If your doc won't write the script, there's docs out there that will. I've got a good doctor. I send a lot of people to. So medications, the little things we think about every day, toilet paper, toothpaste, aspirin, antibiotics, stuff like that will be worth gold.
And on that note, I remember, my friend, we got to scoot. We're totally out of time.
Roger that. Thanks so much,
Paul.
Dave.